Wait for Nicax bids for the first 200-400 meter double in 22 years was dashed last night. My heart broke for him. Turk Ramil Guliyev won the race in London, out sprinting the South African to the 200 meter world title. Now, for Nicax, added silver to the 400 meter gold medal tally he's already won. That was on Tuesday. Joining us in our Cape Town studio is Eyewitness News sports editor John Smythe. Good afternoon, John. No gold, but silver's not bad either. But he wasn't happy, was he?
Yeah, good afternoon, Ray. Certainly silver not bad at all. I think in an event where he hasn't raced in a major before, we know of his incredible speed, being one of the first men ever to go sub 10 for the 100, sub 20 for the 200, and sub 44 for the 400, that he certainly has the pedigree. But last night was his sixth race in 6 days. It was a unique double. When EWN first broke the story back in January that he was trying to get the schedule changed so that he could take on this double, he was adamant at the time that he could do it, and like you said, 2/100ths of a second behind the Turk yesterday, and really, really close. And you're right, afterwards, particularly in an interview with the BBC, which kind of kicked everything off, hugely emotional after a tough week out competing, and felt that he hadn't perhaps gained or garnered some of the respect from his fellow athletes. At the time when he did this interview, Ray, it was slightly confusing as to whether he was alluding to some comments made by Michael Johnson, the man, of course, whose record he broke in Rio in the 400 last year. But it subsequently came out of the press conference afterwards. It was related to the Botswanan athlete Isaac Makwala, who, of course, has been a big story at this game after being quarantined for the norovirus, and some of the comments that he made that the IAAF had protected for Nicax by excluding Makwala from that race so that their golden boy in his eyes could go on and win that.
John, there has also been criticism of six races in 6 days, just too much athletics.
Yeah, well, there is some criticism, but I mean, bear in mind that Nicax makes that decision himself. Him and his coach, Tanya Anspoorter, 75 years old, what a wonderful story she is too. I made reference to that interview we did earlier in the year, and at the time she felt it was probably a bit of a push, but Nicax telling us at the time that he absolutely wants to do it. He sees himself, it's his favorite event by his own admission, the 200, not the 400, despite the fact that he holds that 400 world record. And as I saw some commentary as well, it's much easier and perhaps a bit nicer to train for a 200 than it is for a 400, Ray. So he certainly got the speed, and now that he's laid down that marker very, very close, and we know that he's running 19.84, which is his lifetime best, and obviously would have easily got a gold last night. That said, six races in 6 days, really tough, and conditions, particularly in the previous night in the semi-finals with the rain, really difficult as well. Quite cold in London, not unseasonably, I suppose, as we'd expect from London, but it was quite chilly as well, which has made the sprinting a little bit slower.
Sean, there's tension. There's lots of hype. Are the athletes getting enough support from ASA?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I think that there has been a lot of antagonism, I suppose is probably one word you could use, between the administration and the athletes specifically. We've seen the national championships earlier this year, effectively the athletes running a campaign to get support because they felt that the federation was not doing enough. There's also been a lot of criticism over the selection criteria around these world championships specifically. Just last night we saw Caster Semenya run in the heats and cruise into the semi-finals of the 800. But Gina Lofstrand, who's also reached the semi-final, she wasn't selected for these championships, and she was given a special invite by the IAAF to compete, and she made a semi-final. There were 14, if memory serves me correct, other South African athletes who actually ran IAAF qualifying times but didn't meet the ASA qualifying times as set out, who didn't compete. So it just shows, Lofstrand's performance last night shows that if some of those athletes had certainly gone along, that they might have performed at a much higher level and potentially reached semi-finals and better. So I think it's on the track. South Africa currently third on that medals table, absolutely incredible. So the athletes are doing our country proud, but you're right, there is a lot of unhappiness, I think, with the federation, and there's lots of questions to be asked if they are doing their athletes certainly justice, not only in the eyes of the public, but certainly doing justice to the sport.
But that certainly is bizarre. Why the difference between the ASA and the IAAF?
Well, that's not unusual in a lot of sports, Ray, that that national bodies often, in terms of keeping team sizes down, obviously budgets are a consideration as well, is that they want to ensure that athletes they're taking will reach the latter stages, and you're not necessarily taking an athlete who might not perform at their best and just hit a heat and then fall out and perhaps not perform at their best. There's obviously a counter argument as well, that the experience that those younger athletes in particular get is hugely valuable. So that is an ongoing issue. South Africa is limited by budgetary constraints in a lot of sports, including athletics, swimming. We know that this is a big issue as well, and that's something that's going to run and run. And let's hope that perhaps corporate South Africa can come to the party in a bigger way, particularly off the back of such a success like we're seeing at the London World Champs now, and certainly at least get behind our athletes in some way, shape, or form.
Eyewitness News sports editor Jean Smythe.